law of the Lord says that if a woman's firstborn child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At that time there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and was eagerly awaiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and had been revealed to him that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present baby Jesus to the Lord, as the Lord required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is the light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." And Jesus' friends were amazed at what was being said about him. But Simeon blessed them, and he said to them, he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. And as a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Now Anna, a prophet, was also then in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old when her husband died, and when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshipping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about this child to everyone who'd been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was upon him. There's a fair bit that happens within that sort of context. The two significant people, Anna and Simeon, in this. You see, in the first section, Jesus, who is 8 days old, was circumcised as required by the law. He was there, he was named Jesus, the Messiah, the one that would save the world, as the angel had declared, as the angel had foreseen and spoken. That was in 8 days. And then 40 days after the birth of Jesus, it comes to this requirement of the purification. It's not at the same time as the circumcision, even though it looks like in our passage, but it's 40 days after the birth of Jesus. And this purification offering was something that was for Mary, the mother of Jesus, who given birth to him, and for Jesus. It was something that was written into the law of God. It was a practice that they've done for generations and generations. And it's a practice that was meant to be for all people, for all purification. And for Jesus, it was something that Mary and Joseph faithfully did. And the sacrifice, according to the law, was meant to be a lamb for sacrifice, unless the family was poor, then they could give 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And it shows us the humble state in which Jesus came into this world. It shows us his humility, that Mary and Joseph were not of any wealthy class, but they were humble and serving God, and they offered what they were able to do. Then steps in Simeon, and this incredible prophecy is spoken as someone who is righteous and devout, someone who is faithfully following God. He's not called a priest, even though some commentators would call him a priest, but he's simply a man of God that lived within the Jerusalem area. Think of it, as I was reading this, what was he doing 40 days earlier? He didn't get to see the birth of Jesus. He didn't actually get to, like the shepherds did, or the angels or anything. What was he doing? He was waiting for his time, his moment, for God to reveal the Messiah. He was eagerly awaiting it. A lot of the nation of Israel were eagerly awaiting for the Messiah. And Simeon was not unlike him. was something significant about him. And that was that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And filled with the Holy Spirit now, because the Holy Spirit's come and poured out into all people, is common. But back then, there was very few people that were filled with the Holy Spirit that actually were able to hear the very words of God through them. And Simeon was one of those guys. And as he'd been filled with the Holy Spirit, it was revealed to him that he would not die until he saw the Son. He would not die until he saw the cross. And so it happens on this day, 40 days after Jesus, that the Holy Spirit revealed to him, go to the temple. Go to the temple. Many of you have been in those experiences where you just feel like you have to be somewhere. Simeon was one of those things, go to the temple. It doesn't say that he was there every single day, but on this day, he said, go to the temple. And so faithfully, Simeon followed. And the Spirit led him to the temple at the same time that Mary and Joseph were dedicating their baby Jesus. Dedicating Jesus before the God, doing proper sacrifice. And it was at this time that Simeon goes over. Whether he was involved within this dedication, whether something happened, I don't know, somehow he ends up right next to Mary and Joseph. Somehow he ends up there and he praises God. He recognizes this little baby is the Savior and the Messiah of the world. There wasn't a big sign, there wasn't some sort of big celebration that this is the Savior of the world. Now that would have caused too much commotion. You would have had the priest, you would have had all sorts of things going, hold on a second, what is this? Herod, King Herod, who had a temple nearby and things like that, he would have known. He probably would have killed Jesus. But there was something revealed to Simeon in the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, that this is the Messiah. This little baby is the Messiah, is the Christ. And through this, he declares his incredible words over the rest of the world. It's words that have been spoken by the church. It's actually a practice in a lot of church practices to declare these very words. And it's referred to as an interesting name of the Luke. Is this phrase. It's something the church has been saying for generations and generations. Not something in our practice of Baptist we often refer to or actually go to. But it's something that's been incredibly important. And this is what it is. It's Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is the light to reveal God to the nations. Is the glory of your people Israel. About you, when I see a baby, I don't think of those very things. I don't think of the fact that I've seen salvation. And Mary had been revealed to the angel these various truths about God. But this is more. This is God revealing through the Holy Spirit more and more of what Jesus is going to be and what he is going to do. And so it's through the Holy Spirit that Simeon is able to declare these incredible words. You see, Simeon didn't have to see Jesus die. Simeon didn't have to see the ministry that Jesus did. Didn't have to see his resurrection to see salvation. He didn't have to see that. He just simply saw it. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that this is what was going on. And it says that Jesus' parents were amazed and marveled at his very words. Amazed and marveled at the very words. God spoke through Simeon. And as Simeon blessed him, he said these words. The interesting words. It said, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword pierce your very soul. Even more profound than the world. You see, what this is in fact the incredible image of the gospel. This is what we believe. This is the good news that Simeon is declaring. He says that from what Jesus will do, his work, his death, his life, his resurrection, what Jesus will do, it will in fact cause many in Israel to fall. Many who hear the gospel, many who hear the very See, often when we talk about the gospel, we talk about the good news of the gospel. But in fact, the gospel is good news only if you believe it. In fact, when you hear these words, it is bad news for you if you do not believe it. In fact, if you haven't heard the gospel or you've heard glimpses of the gospel, you're already in this state now where you will be condemned. It is, in fact, you're in that state of sin. And as the gospel is spoken to you, if you simply reject the gospel, now it is bad news for you. It is not just good news. And this is what he speaks about here, is that it will cause many in Israel to fall. It will cause many, as they hear the gospel, to remain in what they're doing, remain in their practices, remain in their sin. That will not provide salvation anymore. This is what the gospel is. See, the gospel is good news and bad news. Now, if we're talking about the gospel as good news, you know, it's only good news if you believe in the gospel. It's only half the gospel. But it's bad news if you disobey. It's often referred to as those fiery preachers that we have in history. You know, that says if you do not believe in the gospel, you will burn and die in hell. You know? Even though that was an interesting way to present the gospel and it was good for the time, you know, it is true and accurate. If you do not believe in the words of Jesus, if you do not believe and faithfully follow him, you receive what is done, you will receive the just punishment for your sin. You will receive what it is. And that's what it says here. The word divides. And the incredible verse 35. As a result of the gospel, the deepest thoughts in many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your very soul. You see, you can be part of church and you can start to believe the gospel. Say, yeah, this is good. You can do everything that it means to be a Christian. You can be here at church every Sunday. You can be serving in a ministry. You can do every single thing that our society calls and says this is a Christian. But unless you actually fully believe the gospel, that actually this word of God pierces and goes to the very soul, and you actually believe it from the inside out, you will receive the just punishment that you deserve for your sin. You see, as a result of hearing the gospel, these words shall in fact pierce your very soul. It will go to the deepest, innermost being of your soul. The very words of God should be sharp like a sword, should pierce your soul. Quite so often, I've brought a sword here on stage today. Something interesting about a sword as you look at it and as you see. This is a very sharp sword. So, there's something about the sword. And so it's so incredible in the way in which it pierces. Now the sword that he speaks about here is not a weapon. He's not talking about a battle. You know, often when we see this image of a sword, we think of this war that is raging. The sword that he talks about here is something that divides. It divides the truth from what is false. It actually cuts to the very deep word of our heart, that the word of God is spoken of as a sword. Now in Ephesians 6:17 it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word. The word of God is not something that when the gospel is heard, that we take into battle. It's something that divides and cuts to the very innermost being of who we are. As we read the word of God, it simply should speak to us this incredible truth and reveal to you what you're really thinking. You see, you can put an image on here at church and you can speak about it, and you can speak Christianese and all sorts of things. But as you read the word of God, it reveals exactly what happened to the demons. You see in John 1:1, that in the beginning was the word, that is Jesus. And the word was with God, and the word was God. This word is an eternal word. It's something that comes to the innermost being and will pierce send his son into the world, but to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever does A, whoever does not believe. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. The people love the darkness instead of the light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for the fears that deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight. Similar to what Simeon described. It speaks of Jesus as the light of the world. As we hear this light, it will reveal to you what's happening in your life. What is happening in your soul. This word of God reveals your very soul. It will divide in you what is true and what is false. It will speak to you in the truth of God's word. This is the gospel. This is what we believe. And so as we reflect upon this sheep. We've been reflecting over last week, just what we've done as a church and this year, where we've been. As I reflect and as I look upon the Word of God, I start to ask the question, what is defined as being a sheep? As I look to the human being, what is actually defined? What is defined as being a sheep? As you look at the great things that you've done this year and the good things, maybe the struggles that you've gone through this year, what has in fact defined you? If you cut away all the various celebrations that you've had this year, all the various work and stuff that you've had, as you cut away these very things, as you look to God and you go, what has in fact defined you this year? What has defined you? See, as we look at these incredible stories and these faces over Christmas, we've looked at these incredible things that have defined these very people. You see, the shepherds, they were defined in the Christmas story as people who listened to the angels. They were people who listened, and as the angels declared that the Messiah has come, they went and saw them. You know, they're not defined by whatever their status is. They're not defined by what in fact happened or how well they looked after the sheep that year. When the word comes and the scripture comes, they're defined by ones who obeyed the angels, and they went and shared the very words of God. The angels were declined. You know, they were defined by people who were faithful, praising and worshiping God, faithfully declaring and turning up at the right time in history to declare what is to come. Zechariah and Elizabeth in the Christmas story, you know, they were defined as righteous people. Simeon was a man who was defined as righteous and divine. Defined by the Holy Spirit, moved by the Holy Spirit. And even Anna, someone who had lost her husband and she'd been married only 7 years. Someone who had been serving faithfully, and she served in the temple until she was 84. And she heard the very words of Simeon speak over the baby Jesus. And she just so happened to be there at the right time. You know, the temple's not a small place. It's about 16 football fields of size. It's huge. Just so happens to be at the right moment at the right time. She overheard the very words that Simeon had spoken over. And you know, she came over, she talked about this child to everyone that she saw. She was defined by remaining in the presence of God, defined by someone who talked about this child to everyone who'd been waiting and expecting. So God looked over your life. What defines the sheep? Have you done faithfully what God has called you and asked you to do this year? of the different struggles that you've had this year. Maybe the times that you haven't followed God faithfully. Reflect on those. But don't remain in those. This time is to start again. Look towards God and go, what is God going to do? What am I going to be defined by? In the innermost being, what is going to flow out of my heart in 2023? So I encourage you on this day to take a moment to reflect. Write down the very things that happened this year, both good and both bad, both the amazing times you've had, the incredible celebrations, then both the struggles that you've gone through this year. And then reflect and look to God and go, what is going to happen next year? Or what do you have in store this year? You can't hide from God. You can't hide from God, as the gospel is going to, as the word of God is going to, it pierces the very soul.